Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I am Nick.
And I'm Ben.
And we'll be your temporary uncles for the next however long this podcast lasts.
For as long as you need us.
Mm.
But I've got to go to work later, so maybe just keep it brief.
For those of you who don't know who we are,
yeah.
I'm Nick. I'm a up-and-coming filmmaker, I guess, if you want to call it that. I make videos on YouTube, but I also make short films and stuff that are a little more professional than the shit I put on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm really into movies. Like, really into movies.
If you continue to listen to the podcast, you
will know, yeah.
You will divine that.
Yeah. And this is Ben.
Hi.
He is a musician, and he likes to make music.
I play music.
Yes.
I don't know if you have to have certain qualifications in order to be a musician.
I think making music and putting it online makes you a musician.
I'm doing ASMR.
ASMR?
Asthma.
When it rains, I get asthma.
You got asthma?
I get itchy.
Hey.
Touch.
Hey. It's free real estate.
You're disgusting. We can hear the sound of your esophagus.
That's the sound of my esophagus.
Gurgle burgling back there.
Burgle gurgling?
Yeah. The Burgling 2018. Great film.
2016.
10 out of 10.
Go watch it on Putlocker right now.
Recommend to a friend. You can find it on the Pirate Bay.
You can find it on Vimeo for free, but for some reason some people have uploaded it to Putlocker, which is weird. Or Putlocker. I don't know how to pronounce that word. No one's taught me how to pronounce. I call it Putlocker.
So it's either put as in golf or put as in... I
put it on the internet. I actually, Putlocker probably makes more sense.
I stole it. I put it there.
Yes.
It's mine.
It's the Putlocker.
I don't know what you mean.
And I saw that it was on not one, but two different Putlockers. So, I don't know who put it there, but I clearly have a fan slash stalker.
So, are there dates for the upcoming tour? Are you going to Japan?
I am going to Japan.
Oh, shit.
At the end of the year.
Don't undermine my satire of your student film, alright?
Well, that student film might not be touring, but Shutdown is.
Really?
Shutdown is going to be playing at a few film festivals over the next year, so... Over the coming year.
A Man's Computer Bleeds, the film?
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, it happens, so...
It does. Is it jam?
No, it's actually fake blood.
Only one man would dare give me the raspberry.
Lone Star! This podcast has come up to an
Is he alive? Is that...
Rick Moranis?
No, Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman's alive.
Okay, it was Bill Paxton that died.
Bill Paxton passed away.
The guy that was Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Hawkeye Pierce.
I remember him from,
Mesh.
Aliens.
Okay.
And, Edge of Tomorrow. And everyone knows him from...
Oh, the guy that...
Twister.
The guy that gets, John Hurt, who has the alien, burst out of him, he died.
Yeah, John Hurt. So, yeah, two people within the Alien franchise passed away in 2017.
I was gonna tell you where really I saw that, but I wanna stop referencing your work, because
yeah,
otherwise we'll just be here for an hour. Just be like, so Nick, what else have you done?
We can give updates and stuff for work of ours on this podcast. That's part of the reason. This podcast, people may be asking us, why do you have a podcast? You're just two young Australian boys.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly, why not?
Who hasn't got a podcast?
Exactly. We just thought, what the hell? Sounds like, seems like fun. So we just thought we'd give it a go.
Exactly.
If it's popular, then people might like to listen to
it. It's like the hip-hop music.
Yes.
It's the way that the people communicate. You don't need very much equipment. It's low quality as hell.
Well, some of it.
It attracts hoes.
If you put a milkshake in one yard...
Yeah.
And crack a cold one in another yard.
Yeah.
Which yard would the boys go to?
Well, it depends. How good is that milkshake? Because I heard that...
It's one of Fergie's milkshakes.
I heard that it attracts many.
Mm. There's a cold one in another yard. So which yard will the
boy go to? A cold what?
A cold one.
What are you getting at, Nick?
A cold one.
A beer. A broski. Some hops.
Back off from the microphone. I'm gonna...
A cold one.
I'm gonna grab you by your long-haired hippie Yahoo locks. I'm gonna pull you into that goddamn microphone, boy.
Alright.
I want you to make contact. What are you doing? That just looks like carnage.
I just did a JonTron on the microphone.
Is he?
You can just see it scratching on the waveform.
Yeah. Can we clean that up in post? Can we fix it in post?
No.
No.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
So we should probably actually talk.
Do you want to have content?
Yeah, let's have some content instead of just making noises. Because we can spend the next hour and a half just making noises and no one will listen.
We could.
We could.
It'll be just as good.
Just as good.
Alright, so...
What are some... Well, you were talking about music earlier.
Yeah.
What's some music from 2017 that you liked?
Oh, jeez. Whenever you ask me about, like, when something has come out, it's always... What year did Currents come out?
2015.
Shit. I'm a bit behind the curve on that. What year did Awaken My Love come out?
2016.
Well, that's closer.
Yeah.
Right,
it became a lot more popular because of the movie Get Out.
Gonna see if I can come like even close to the bullseye, like the second outermost circle.
Mm.
What's something that came out this year that I maybe heard?
You probably heard Under the Covers Volume 2.
Yes.
By Ninja Sex Party.
Was a Heat of the Moment on that one?
Yep.
Then I've heard it.
Okay. Have you heard the whole album?
I've probably heard bits and pieces. Is Subdivisions on this one?
Nope. That's from the first one.
Oh, okay.
You may be a bit confused because I gave you the first one as your birthday present.
You did.
Yes.
I like Rush. I like NSP. I like...
There's a Rush song on...
Which one is on it?
Hmm?
Which one's on number two?
Limelight, I believe.
That I've definitely heard it.
Yep.
Because I can play that song. It's one of the handful of Rush songs that I can play.
Cool.
Because Rush is fucking boss.
Hell yeah.
1,000 notes a minute.
The first Rush song I ever heard was 2112. Yeah. Did I set the bar too high?
I think you set the, as far as the duration is concerned, you prepared yourself for a series of rock epics, of which there are several, but there is a lot of some, like 4 and 5 minute ones.
Okay.
Not a lot of like 2 or 3 minute Rush songs.
Because whenever I like start off like the first of whatever I'm doing, and I started off with a really good one and set the bar too high, I'm always worried. That happened with anime for me. I watched, the first anime I watched was The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Because the rest of anime as a concept is lowly.
Well, it's just not good enough. This is like one of, like, highly regarded as like one of the best, and I think it's one of the best that I've seen.
Yeah?
And I think I set the bar a little too high because a few of the other shows that I watched afterwards were not as good.
Have you ever watched one that's about a hallucinogenic teddy bear that's got like a sexy nurse who's also like doubled as an androgynous 10-year-old and it gives the patients drugs to get over their anxieties?
No, what's it called?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. It's called like fucking Hirohito Onigashi the Subaru. I don't know what the name of any of the only name of an anime that I know of it's an anime that there was a sequence in it that was stolen from it that became Inception.
Yeah.
So with the room moving, you know how in that hotel in Inception and they're using the dream machine and they're in the corridor and they float about and the floor. It comes, they stole that from this anime.
Paprika?
It's called like Trapeze or something.
All right.
I want to say that's what it's called.
I'm thinking of Paprika just because that's a movie about dreams, so...
Paprika?
Paprika's a good one.
Thinking of two different ones. Because there is one where they...
Paprika does have a few similarities.
They, like, fall
Inception.
Into, like, a sleep and they have, like, the weirdest goddamn dreams.
I mean, that could be
I think
a
I'm just,
number of anime.
I'm confusing two just weird-ass Japanese features. But there is one that I remember watching called Kids on the Slope, and that's about a jazz band. Or it's about some kids that play
live
jazz.
Live action movie?
No, it's anime. Okay. It's anime.
I watched a live action Japanese movie
where
it was about a jazz band. It was very much just like a Japanese school of rock, but it actually was
Well, these kids are in school,
but
it is animated.
Okay.
It's excellent, though.
Is that the movie, yeah?
It's a show, so there's like 6 episodes or something.
Well, I'm sure someone in the comments could probably tell you.
Have you seen an obscure anime about jazz?
feel like Jen.
You just whenever you have to whisper, you just like whisper right into the microphone.
You can do like a stage whisper where you just talking.
You can do like a stage whisper.
You're talking at normal volume, but you make your voice raspy.
You can talk like Billy Conway.
Oi, I know you. Oi, fuck Jimmy.
You're just not even saying words, just going, hey, oh, I know my vowels. Alright, we can stop with that.
He's got on Parkinson's now.
I see.
Yeah, he's got the shimmy shakes, he's getting stiff and
the shimmy shakes, yes, the scientific term for Parkinson's. Everyone remembers where they were when Michael J. Fox was diagnosed with the shimmy shakes.
Mr. Connolly, I have to apologize, you have the shimmy shakes.
Why is Mr. Connolly talking to himself?
No, it's that would be Sean Connery.
You just said Sean Connery.
I said
you
Mr. Connolly.
Mr. Connolly. I thought you said Mr. Connery.
No, he's not.
It sounded like you were
Japanese doing... Scotsman who confuses his L's and his R's.
Yeah, it sounded like you were just doing a Sean Connery impression and telling himself that he has the shimmy shakes.
As mutually unintelligible as any Scotsman, it's just there are extra rules to this accent now.
Hello, I'm Billy Connolly.
Did you know that I stand in the first James Bond?
James Bond! James Bond!
Hey, you fucking Goldfinger! You wanna give me the lunch cords, me?
Okay. Everyone knows...
It'd be a different film.
Everyone knows Billy Connolly's best role.
James Bond.
In open season.
Oh, God. It was a squirrel?
Yes.
Lean on my nuts!
I purposely refrained from doing an impression because I knew the word nuts would be involved.
Yeah.
Well, stay away from me nuts, yeah, wee little...
Yeah,
touch my nuts, you Isaac cunt!
Oh, I might have to bleep that.
No, you can't.
I'm kidding.
It's expected. It's a Scotsman.
Ah, true.
And smile.
And also, we're Australians. Alright. Should we have another conversation about something?
Yeah,
we will then devolve into us just making noises.
This is, yeah, non sequitur the podcast.
Yes, I mean...
Two men can't choose what to talk about the podcast.
Yep, here's another fun English person to do an impression of.
Mark, okay.
No, Brian Blessed.
Brian!
Brian! I can't do it now for some reason. I used to...
Edgar!
Yeah.
Brian Blessed!
Oh, that's excellent.
That's it. I for some reason, I was tilting my head the wrong way. Brian Blessed! But you can only do an impression of Brian Blessed while yelling.
My son, Edmund! Flash Gordon!
Oh, Jesus.
Because he's in Flash Gordon.
He's for every one of us.
He plays Hawkman.
Stands for every one of us.
I don't know what the actual character's name is, but I call him Hawkman because he looks like Hawkman from DC Comics.
Does he fly?
Yes.
Does he fly like one of your prissies?
This is my impression of
Hawkman.
Who does this sound
like?
This is my impression of Sir Patrick Stewart, who plays the iconic character of Poop in the Emoji Movie.
I'm a poop, you see.
Yes.
Shit it so.
Yes.
Make it smelly.
Yes.
Number one.
Number one.
Number I'm two. Number two.
Yes. We're number two. We're number two. Now, can't let any accidents happen. I swear, I was watching I Hate the Emoji Movie by I Hate Everything, and there was one joke by Poop. There was one joke by Poop that he showed, and I think it's because of the fact that he just showed it out of nowhere that I actually giggled at it.
It took you by surprise?
It took me by surprise, and so I giggled at it.
Well, that's cheap. But that's like a jump scare.
Yeah, the actual joke
it's
itself.
It's a jump funny.
The actual joke itself was not at all original or well written. So, but it just took me by surprise. I mean, it's like when you're watching the important playlists, the important videos playlist, or the instant regret by clicking this playlist, and that you'll get stuff from like actually made movies, completely out of context, that take you by surprise and it's funny.
Like,
who touched my spaghetti?
Like.
I don't know why makes you laugh so much.
I don't know what the context for that video is, where there are two dinosaurs and one of them has got like a synthesizer for a voice, because it doesn't sound like a person singing. Like, it's like ready, it's like Because what is that dialogue? That's not a song.
They've just taken, like, in the middle of doing a person saying a word, they've cut out like half the word, and so they've got, you know.
Do you think I've taken this too seriously? Like,
yes, it's not actual comedy gold. It's just someone editing a video.
So they were actually
and you just find it hilarious for some reason. I can easily do a try not to laugh challenge and watch yee and not laugh at it, but then you just lose your soon as you see yee.
It's less funny now, but the first time that I saw it, I wasn't expecting it.
You were just ruffling. You were ruffling all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
R-O-T-T-F-L-E-M-Z-Z and wanna be and then T-T-Y-L-X-O-X and
once again this touch my chest. Once again this podcast has just devolved into noise.
This is a closed room, Nicholas.
I should have just stood up and put my butt.
This is a closed set. That's my best Brooks.
That was what? That was supposed to be Mel Brooks.
Yeah. You just make yourself raspy.
He's not that raspy.
I'm from Williamsburg.
He's not that raspy.
He is now. He's 90.
Yeah.
He's old.
I tell you, I used to go to the synagogue and it's like,
he should still attempt to make Spaceballs 2 while he has the chance.
To search for more money.
Because I don't think anyone else could make Spaceballs 2.
Well, he doesn't need to search for more money. He's rich!
Yes, but the characters are searching for more money.
Oh, yeah. But I think that
the
implication is that the studio is trying to get more money by cashing in on it.
I can't think of another director who could do Spaceballs 2.
Oh, no, I think he's the only one that owns the rights to it, so that's probably the reason.
And because of all the Star Wars that's happening at the moment, like, now would be the perfect time to do a Spaceballs 2.
Just shit all over it, just make it one huge reference and be like, hey! Remember when Chewbacca was Harry?
They could easily play on the nostalgia from the first... people who like the first Spaceballs.
Yeah.
And do that as a parody of the way they played on the nostalgia with
the
Force
whole thing
Awakens.
Is shtick. None of it is meant to be like, hey, it's you know, plot. It's all just meant to be a piss take.
Hmm.
And it should be, because it's a franchise that needs to have its piss taken.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I mean, I liked the last three Star Wars movies. I'm not saying that they're masterpieces, but I still enjoyed them. So.
I've got problems.
I've got
issues.
Rogue One was really good. Did you see Rogue One?
Rogue One was a horse of a different color. It was a different type of film with a Star Wars skin on it, because it was dour.
There was absolutely there were a few references to Jedi, but there weren't actually any Jedi in the movie.
Jyn Erso is wood.
Wood.
Yeah.
As in, she's not a good actress.
Is it?
Who the? What the?
We're built on hope.
Hope.
I love... I'm going to win. I
hope. But, you know...
You know, the best part of it was a
Chirrut. Chirrut.
It was a Forest Whitaker was the best part.
Oh, I thought Chirrut was the best part.
Who is that?
The blind man.
He's pretty good. I like Blind Chinaman.
Yes.
He's my favourite character.
And his friend Attila the Hun.
His friend Asian Gunman. Together, the Blind Chinaman and Asian Gunman, we shall win.
Mm.
But they don't. They kill everyone.
And then they die. Spoilers.
It's very un-Star Wars. It's a depressing film. Star Wars shouldn't be depressing.
It felt hopeful at the end because
we know where it goes.
No,
because we know there are eight films after this.
They carried on. They managed to carry on their mission successfully. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter that they die.
But it was
but
like,
they managed to do what they
I
set out to do.
I suppose we're going to die now.
So it's not it's not an incredibly sad death because they actually carried out their mission.
Well, it's sad because it was like we're going to do it and all get destroyed in the process of it. But it's only hopeful because we know that A New Hope is the immediate successor of that.
True.
We know that there is a hexology to come out of that.
That's the whole point of this movie, is to just be a predecessor to Star Wars A New Hope.
The whole point is that there was Star Wars and now this film came out.
Yeah. Like, this film wouldn't exist on its own.
Oh, probably wouldn't.
No. It was literally made to explain... Like, the whole movie was literally just made to explain the plot hole of how they destroyed the Death Star in A New Hope.
Well, they told that in the film. You see it. If you've seen A New Hope, you know how they did it.
Yeah,
they stole the plans.
They show it, But then we find out why there is a 2-meter hole in the Death Star. Because I'm sure whoever invented the Death Star, who was, if they were actually evil...
Bit of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yeah. Look.
So literally the whole movie was just to explain, hey, that 2-meter gap in the Death Star was put there on purpose by a man who's actually on the good side.
Yeah, but you'd think that someone would have noticed.
Well, not if he kept the plans a secret, which he did. He kept that little bit a secret. Even Krennic didn't know about it.
No, but like by the time that they built the Death Star, like, because the Death Star was built...
I think they probably would have... He probably would have explained that hole away by just saying that it has a purpose.
Yeah, I think that... Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Like an exhaust hole or something. Or something like that, you know. Something
but if there were going to be exhaust holes, there would have been exhaust holes all over it. You think there's like a city...
There's one. There's this tiny...
It's city-sized battle station and there is one exhaust port.
Like how many rooms one? Are there in the actual Death Star that we see?
Yeah, well, like I think a lot of it is just sort of like computers and hardware and corridors.
Yeah.
And there are less rooms. But like the people that were around that area of the Death Star that go past that bit all the time and live and like work there, you don't think that they would have looked at it and been like, there's like there's just like one hole and there's no holes in the rest of the Death Star, but there's one here. Do you know what that is? And
they probably didn't care. They probably were just like, oh, it probably has its purpose.
Oh yeah, like the grunts probably would have, but like no one else saw it.
Yeah, because the whole point is that Mads Mikkelsen kept it a secret, a really well hidden secret.
But it's not well hidden if you can, like, see it. It's not like he hid it behind a panel.
No, but they needed the plans to know where it was.
Yeah, but then they built it, so they would have seen what the plans...
It's such a small hole that they needed the plans put into... Like, Luke Skywalker used a combo...
Oh, yeah, the Rebels needed a plan.
Yeah.
And Rebels absolutely needed to know where it was. But, like, I'm thinking that no one in the Empire noticed it and went, isn't that funny?
Yeah. No one noticed it, because it's so small.
Yes, it is.
It's so unnoticeable. But, that way you wouldn't have been... Like, Luke probably wouldn't have been able to find the hole on his own.
Oh, absolutely not.
Using the Force. So, that's how small the hole is. It's so small. Yeah.
Anyone that doesn't work the Death Star would have no chance of knowing where it is.
Why are we even arguing about this?
Because Star Wars is something to argue over.
I don't think
Star Wars is a huge legacy. It's worth billions of dollars, and a lot of it is just like wankery at the moment.
I thought The Last Jedi was really good.
So. I think that with the newest films, I think that if Star Wars had never been, if these new films came out, then they would have been huge hits on their own. They would have just been great. They would have been great pieces of cinema. However, they are built on legacy.
But the whole point is that they are the legacy of Star Wars. They are sequels, so they have to follow on the story and try to keep... They can't at all work as their own separate movies.
Yeah, but like when you build a new iteration of anything, it's always going to be compared to its predecessor. And when you look at them and you go, well, is this Star Wars? Is this what I grew to knew to be Star Wars? Are there problems with it that the original Star Wars didn't have?
Mm.
And I think that you can sort of say yes to a number of those things.
As a kid who grew up with watching the Star Wars movies, I'm just incredibly happy that I get to feel the way that people did back in 1997 and 1983 and all that. And just see this big, epic blockbuster series in the theaters. And the way we feel about, like, watching these movies is probably very similar to how people felt when they watched the first trilogy in cinemas, and not the prequel trilogy.
Possibly. I think that it would be, like, we've got someone in the house.
Apart from the fact that we are already invested in this universe.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've got someone in the house that we could actually ask about that, but...
Yeah.
Because, like, my dad saw the original Star Wars films in cinemas.
My parents saw the original Star Wars films in cinemas,
But I think, like, in 1977, like, Star Wars wasn't a thing. So it was completely fresh. And then when you went see number 5, like, apparently number 5 was not well received.
Really?
Apparently, yeah, people got to the end of it and they sort of, like, went... Well, like, the general public.
Well, I think it's because back then, franchising wasn't a big thing. So when episode 5 ended on a semi-cliffhanger.
Yeah, a cliffhanger. Like, that was big.
People were probably just like, what?
Yeah. Like, apparently that the general public sort of watched, they watched number five and sort of went, I don't understand, why would you not finish it on, like, then, the climax?
Yeah.
Now the people that were into the films went like, yeah.
Nowadays, when a movie ends on a cliffhanger, you're just like, okay, sequel.
Yeah, but
it, back then, sequels weren't, like, a massive thing, so they'd just be like, why did you not finish the movie? Oh, okay, there's gonna be another
but
one.
But you don't, but when you see a cliffhanger like that...
Was it called Episode 5 when it came out?
It was called A New Hope. Well, no, sorry, it was called Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Okay. I think after number 4, they started calling them 4, 5, and 6.
Because I remember the first one...
So the first one was Star Wars A New Hope.
The first one was just called Star Wars when it came out.
It wasn't subtitled?
I don't think it was called A New Hope. I think when it was first in cinemas, it was just called Star Wars.
Right.
And that's what that movie's known as a lot. It's known as just Star Wars. And then a lot of people will know the next one as just Empire Strikes Back.
If someone says to me, hey, I watched Star Wars in the weekend, I'd say which one.
Yeah, exactly. Because back in 1977...
Fucking 10 of them or something.
Yeah. Yeah, back in 1977, there was only Star Wars.
Well, yeah, originally, yeah, so I think...
It wasn't even called Star Wars A New Hope.
Came into cinemas as Star Wars, but then once the next one came out, I think they started calling them...
On home release, I think they edited it to... change the opening scroll and call it Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But there wasn't the whole rigmarole that we have now where everything is about, oh, well, I saw the original ones, and, you know, because it directly piggybacks on the original ones by having the original characters in there, by continuing their storyline.
But that's what a good sequel does, is that they include the main characters.
Yeah, well, it has a relevancy, it has a reason to exist, but for a lot of people, they look at the original character storyline and go, well, it finished. We saw it, we watched it end, we watched number six, and we go, okay, it's done. And then when
George decided, he wanted to make new ones to explain the original...
You
could easily watch 4, 5, and 6 and not have to watch the new ones.
Yeah.
You could, like even Rogue One seems more essential to watch than Force Awakens and that. But they're just fun movies for a new generation. I don't think they have to be anything more than that.
Well, that these films did not need to be made.
No.
No one was like, I need
a
new Star Wars, dude!
They're good to make just to keep making good sci-fi movies.
They need to be made because Disney paid George Lucas $4 billion.
That too, but also I just think... We need more big, crazy sci-fi epics, and that's what Star Wars can be.
Well, we've had bits and pieces of
If they didn't make the new Star Wars movies, we'd have Guardians of the Galaxy to take that.
Well, I think Guardians is perfectly serviceable in that way. Yeah. I think
it's harder for Guardians of the Galaxy to be the next Star Wars because it already exists within another franchise, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So yeah.
It is harder for that to be its own thing.
Yes.
Especially now that it's connecting to the other movies through the Guardians being in Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, like, with Star Wars, I'm going into it and sort of saying, like, convince me that you didn't do this for the money. Convince me.
I don't think that they have so far. I think that all three of the new movies have been made out of a love for Star Wars.
I think the people that actually made the films, I think that they had a love for it. Commissioned the films just want
maybe the
money.
people at Disney who wanted Lucasfilms to make more were probably in it for the money. But the people at Lucasfilms, I think, did it out of a love for the franchise.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, I think, yeah, the people that are charged to make it, you know, the directors that they get on, the people that they get
even
to play...
Even the producers
them,
as well, I yeah. think. Kathleen
people that Kennedy, they get to play the roles,
Kathleen
I think...
Kathleen Kennedy yeah. definitely has a love for the stuff, yeah. for the franchise, and not just money.
I think that they want to make a good film. I think they want to make the Star Wars that they want to see. However, I think that there are still problems with the
and
way that they made them.
Well, and there's also a problem with the way that they're doing it, is just that Disney wants them to make 15 bloody Star Wars movies.
Excuse me?
Starting with The Force Awakens, right?
15.
15, yeah.
There weren't 15 originally!
That's Disney's decision as well, though, not Lucasfilm's. And I don't think Lucasfilm's is really doing anything to stop that. So they're just going, alright, well, if we have to, we might as well make them good.
Well, like...
And we might as well put people who we trust behind them. That's why, you know, we're gonna make this trilogy, that's why there's all these spin-offs, and we're just trying to make them worthwhile and not feel like just pointless spin-offs. So you know, doing a Kenobi movie makes sense.
I think
doing
like
a Han
by
Solo
doing...
movie makes sense. And just doing, you know, Star Wars 10, 11, and 12 and all that would just feel too much like they're just trying too hard. But if they do more spin-offs, they could do movies about the Clone Wars. They could do more movies.
Well, they've
about...
already done, you know, they did a TV
they've
series.
They've done
and
the
they did
series,
a film.
Of course, but they can just do
well, they did a
movies
film already.
About that as well, if they want to. They
if
could,
they do.
There's so many aspects of this franchise that they could even do movies that are set outside of the Skywalker family. They could do them just. They could be set within maybe the Star Wars universe, but not actually involve any of the Star Wars characters.
Gary, we're going to see the Juju Bahul film starring...
Yeah, it's just... I know, 15 is too many, but if they have to, they might as well make good movies out of it. I don't want to see Star Wars just become a bunch of movies that are exactly like the prequels. I'd rather see more movies that are like Rogue One or The Last Jedi, you know? I don't want to see any more Phantom Menaces.
Well, the thing is, like, the prequels had... A definite purpose. I think that having the prequels having been made, I'm kind of happy that they were, because there was definitely a rich backstory that needed to be fleshed out, because
you know,
there was a lot of history with the characters in number 4.
One thing that they could do for these for 3 of these 15 movies is that they could remake the prequels.
No, they don't need to do that.
I'd be fine with the prequels being remade. If any Star Wars movie were to be remade, I'd want it to be the prequels. No one could ever remake the original trilogy.
I think that they are encroaching enough on... I feel it's sort of our space. As fans,
yeah.
I think it's sort of... It belongs to us, and it's our property. It's something to sort of show to your kids.
Yeah.
And they're already encroaching far enough by making more films. I would be livid.
Yeah.
I would be... enraged if they retconned or remade anything that already existed.
Well, they've retconned the entire expanded universe.
Well, that was never official. That was...
No, it was. It was all canon until they decided to make the next series.
Well, that was... Well, it was fan-made, unless it was made...
No. It was all official. It was all canon.
Made
by
Lucas.
No, not everything was made by George Lucas, but it was all made by people, and it was... Like, all the official licensed stuff by Lucasfilms is canon...
Hmm.
Until 2015, when they made The Force Awakens. And now that's all another universe. So people can still keep going and make more separate stories with Darth Vader and Luke and all those characters, but they're no longer canon.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I guess, just gives them more creative freedom. I mean, considering how many bloody books and comic books, video games, considering all the other different media that they've made out of Star Wars... And that with only having 6 films, I think it makes complete sense that they want to make more movies, because that's where Star Wars started, and it just feels like where Star Wars is at home.
But
so
it's very
if
much
they could
in
get
your face.
A million of these like books that Star Wars has,
so
they could make a Darth Maul movie out of like the 7 bloody Darth Maul books they have.
Yeah, well, it's,
so
but like when you go like. This is like the Adventures of Cade Skywalker issue 24. If you're not like into that and into like the extended legacy of that, you can just ignore it and be like, yeah, cool. But if you seek it out, then that's there for you and you can participate in that. But then when they make a film, it's like they're waving this multi-billion dollar flag, and they're putting it on billboards and they're advertising on TV, and they're saying, this is your Star Wars now. Accept your new Star Wars.
Well, you don't have to go and see the new ones.
No, well, I don't have to, but I'm curious to see what they did.
And you can always just watch it, decide
you don't like it, and then
just in your head be like, I don't like this, I'm gonna exclude this from my canon.
Well, that's the thing, is that there are lots of bits that are good.
Mm.
There are lots of bits, like, overall, I've liked the films that they put out.
Yeah.
I think that they have some... big problems.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Force Awakens' problem is just being too reliant on nostalgia, I think.
Well,
whereas The Last Jedi's problem for me, like, I mean, I thought the movie was great. My only problem with it is a little too much humor.
I think, well...
I feel like Disney got a little bit of creative control on this one and then just decided, hey, can you make this a little bit more like a Marvel movie?
Okay, in that way it...
But that was only with a few of the jokes in the movie. The rest of the movie feels nothing like it, and it felt like a Rian Johnson Star Wars movie. But things like Porgs, not a fan. I'm not a fan of Porgs. I don't think that they needed to, at all to be in the movie. They were there purely to sell toys.
Yeah. Are those the little animal things?
They're the little minions of Star Wars.
Yeah.
We already have bloody Jar Jar, we have R2-D2, and we have, like, BB-8 to be the cute little stuff. We have droids. Droids are the perfect, marketable, merchandisable, little, fun, cute sidekick characters.
But they're that not people cuddly, like, Nicholas.
But that people like. They make plushes, okay? They make plushes of BB-8. Shut up. Okay? There are plushes of every Star Wars character, even characters you've never heard of, okay? Yeah. So, like, you see a character in the background, there's a pop vinyl of that fucker.
Yes,
okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You can buy the pop vinyl of Bingus Johong.
Oh, yeah. There's a pop vinyl of everything. Pop vinyl is, like, the worst thing ever, because they'll make a figurine out of anything. I hate pop vinyl, because their designs are ugly. I hate the designs of the pop vinyls.
Their heads are all the same shape.
Yeah, and just they're so ugly. People think they're cute. People will buy them. But I just think that they're so ugly. And the fact that they'll make a pop vinyl of fucking anything is just stupid. Batman wears a Green Lantern ring for one panel of a comic. Boom! Pop vinyl.
But it's different, Nicholas, because they're not, like, modular. You can't be, like, take off one of his fingers and put the ring finger on there. It's got to be a different one. It's like...
Well, no, the thing is, because he wears a Green Lantern ring for one panel, they'll give him a Green Lantern costume for one panel. They can make that into a billion different kind of toys.
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder why Batman, Robin, and Batgirl wore those different costumes at the end of Batman and Robin?
Toys?
Toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, the only reason that movie was made to sell toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Batman? No, you
want to know another stupid thing that toys have done?
Tell me.
Toys are the reason why the Green Lantern animated series was cancelled.
Really?
Yes. That show is actually very good. But, unfortunately, because the Green Lantern movie didn't sell well with the toys, the movie starring Ryan Reynolds that has nothing to do with the cartoon, apart from the fact that they're both called Green Lantern.
Yeah.
The only reason why the cartoon was cancelled is because the movie's toys didn't sell well. Yeah.
Do you like Michael Bay's robots starring Praise the Beef?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, at least they're not starring Shia LaBeouf anymore. At least he's moved on to bigger and better things.
Because you can thank toys for that, because Transformers was invented because the toys came out.
The toys were fun, and they had good cartoons, and they had good shit that was based on the toys, but the toys themselves were actually fun and original when they came out. And then Michael Bay just turned them into gritty, dark action movies with humor. I mean, the first movie is actually pretty good.
So something fun and original that was originally made
Transformers, the first movie, back in 2007, that was a big deal. It was big action movie starring robots, and that's not a thing that was around at that time.
It was still schlock.
You didn't really have... Yeah, but I'm just saying that that's the reason why that movie did so well in the box office, because it was new.
And also they probably would have now signed a 3 or 4 movie deal out of it.
Now that they've
already
made the fifth movie, and that they're starting a very, very slow decline at the box office. By the time they actually make number 10, that's when they decide, okay, let's stop. But the thing is, they're already making Transformers 6, Transformers 7, Transformers 8, Bumblebee. Bumblebee's getting his own movie.
Bumble Solo?
Yeah. I think that might actually be Transformers 7.
Buzz Free Bumblebee?
Actually, no, that might be Transformers 6.
I don't want the beef.
I don't really care anymore, though. I stopped watching after episode 4. Number 4 was just a god-awful movie, and I just decided I'm not going to bother watching the new one. Even if they have Anthony Hopkins, I'm not going to bother watching the last one.
Tony! Hey, Tony! I've got a film coming up for you. Why don't you come in? You'll do some lines. You come in, you'll be a character. I'll give you $1 billion!
Number 3 for me, The Dark Moon, or Dark of the Moon, or whatever it's called.
Dark Side of the Moon.
I think it's called Dark of the Moon, which is a stupid
Transformers
title,
A Momentary Lapse of Reason.
That one's okay. I can watch that one. That one's a guilty pleasure.
It's okay.
I don't care about the human aspects. I don't care about the human aspects of the movie, but I just think number 3 has some really good...
It's got some cool robots.
And it's got a human villain, which was interesting.
Some robots.
And I thought that guy was actually a pretty good character. So.
Who is the villain?
Alec Baldwin lookalike. I don't remember.
Also, not Alec Baldwin.
Not like Alec Baldwin. Some guy who looks like Alec Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin.
It might be one of the Baldwins. I don't know.
Steve Baldwin.
Shia LaBeouf is like one of the only good human characters within the
Buzz Baldwin.
Trilogy, so. I think you can watch the first Transformers movie with a sense of childlike wonder and still enjoy it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's just sort of like, you know, shit blows up. It's an action movie for action.
It's an enjoyable movie. It's like, it's well written for a movie about robots beating each other up.
Well, it's Michael Bay's bread and butter. It's a film for 12-year-olds.
It's probably one of his best movies as well, so.
Well, that's saying something.
You've got Bad Boys 2, which is a guilty pleasure for many people, and The Rock, which is like his probably, like, genuinely good movie, and Armageddon, which is for some reason in the Criterion collection, and that's pretty much it for, like, good movies made by Michael Bay.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Transformers and The Rock. And maybe Armageddon.
So, like, with
but the thing is, Armageddon, like, I watched about 5 minutes of Armageddon, and it wasn't from the beginning.
No.
It was just some random scene from the movie because it was on TV.
You just put it in?
And I just hated it. Because they spent 5 minutes with Bruce Willis going, like, "Don't touch my daughter." Even though that's not what Bruce Willis sounds like. But, like, hey, they spent, like, a good 5 minutes of these guys just telling Bruce Willis that his daughter is hot. And then him going, "Don't touch my daughter."
Hey, Bruce,
like, a solid 5 minutes. With all these lens flares and, like, really well shot and all that stuff. And it's just these assholes going, like, "Hey, I want to fuck your daughter. Can I fuck your daughter?"
"Don't fuck my daughter."
That's what Bruce Willis sounds like.
Yeah.
"Don't fuck my daughter."
Don't do it.
Speaking of that line, I watched Raging Bull the other night.
Yeah?
That was good. And there's a line in that it just reminded me of Raging Bull, where Robert De Niro is just like, "You fuck my wife?"
"Yeah."
"You fuck my wife?"
"Yeah, I fuck your wife."
And then Joe Pesci's just like,
"Yeah."
"No. Where do you get the balls to ask me a question like that? I'm not answering."
"I did that. I'm Joe Pesci.
I'm not answering."
"Have you seen Home Alone? It's pretty good. I got my friend Moff. We go in, we touch a kid. We go to jail." He blew my head. My friend, he stood in the nail.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
I got a hot hand. I fell out of the snow.
Now that I've seen Goodfellas and, like, a number of other Scorsese movies, I don't think of Joe Pesci as the Home Alone guy anymore.
No.
So that's good.
Do you think of him as an angry Italian man?
Yes.
Do you think of him as Danny DeVito?
No.
Do you think of
him? No, he's
Dynasty.
He's not like another Danny DeVito. He's Joe Pesci. He's his own character, so I think of him as the character from Goodfellas now.
Do you think that there is a role that could be improved
how?
if you swap?
Funny how?
Like a
funny
clown?
Like a clown, I amuse you?
I like that my Joe Pesci voice is much higher than yours.
If Joe Pesci was ever cast as a character in a comic book series, he'd be perfect as MODOK from Marvel. Although they'd clearly just have to make him look like Mr. Electric from Sharkboy and Lavagirl and just put his head on a weird looking square body. Joe Pesci would be a really good voice for MODOK and maybe use his face for the likeness of MODOK, but there's no way you could, like, make a realistic practical costume for the character of MODOK. He'd have to be CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just use his head.
Yeah, just use Joe Pesci.
His head's
he'd be a good choice for MODOK, I reckon.
Just sever his head, just let it sit out for a couple of days, it'll turn green, you know, that'll...
MODOK's not green.
In my head, he is.
I'll show you what MODOK looks like. I'll show you what MODOK looks like.
Do you think that there is a role that could be improved if you traded Joe Pesci for Danny DeVito?
Any of the Guardians from the shitty Green Lantern movie.
Is Danny DeVito in that?
No.
Oh, so I said if you traded Joe Pesci for Danny DeVito.
Oh, okay. If you swapped,
sorry,
I didn't hear what you said perfectly.
If you swapped
the role,
we spent
a good 20 minutes just talking about Star Wars. I don't want to talk about Star Wars anymore.
No.
Yeah. What was it? Replace Danny DeVito with Joe Pesci.
If you did a trade,
maybe.
Either a DeVito role that could be improved with Pesci, or a Pesci role that could be improved with DeVito.
I would love to see Home Alone with Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it'd even be improved, but it'd definitely be a different movie.
Hey, kid. Get daddy!
I dropped my monster condom that I use for my Magnum Dog.
That I use for Macaulay Culkin.
I dropped my monster Culkin.
my Magnum Macaulay.
I'm lost in New York.
There are birds everywhere.
I'm Home Alone 2, lost in New York. What do you think is a Danny DeVito line? What's a Danny DeVito role that could be improved by replacing him with John Jafari?
I don't know, fucking anything. I want to insert John in most things.
Just insert John in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I want to insert myself that'd into
be
John.
One, that'd be one that'd be interesting to see Joe Pesci in, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm sure that. The role would probably be exactly the same if you replaced Danny
That's
DeVito with him.
That's kind of Jack, doesn't it?
Eh? Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
This is MODOK.
Why don't you give it to Jack?
This is what MODOK looks like.
Oh yeah, he's been decomposing for a while. He's not fresh.
That's
gross.
He's great. He looks slimy. I don't want that shit.
Yeah.
He's got a huge chrome dome. Well, not chrome dome. He's just got a huge head.
Well, yeah, he is just a huge head.
He is a head.
Like that, the golden thing around him is what he uses to float.
What happened to him? Why does
he's not a human?
Why
he's an alien?
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Does he have an accent?
He's a Fantastic Four villain, I think.
Is he okay?
I think he's a Fantastic Four villain.
Fan-four-stick?
He might also be a Spider-Man villain, or an Avengers villain.
Fantastic Four?
I'm pretty sure he's a Fantastic Four villain.
Miles Teller starring in Fant-four-stick?
I don't want to think about Fant-four-stick, okay? It just gives me bad memories of Justice League.
Well, what if you watched Whiplash and the main character was Mr. Fantastic? Do you think he would be a better drummer if he had rubber arms?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think he could slap J.K. Simmons across the room?
Yeah, probably.
If he throws a chair at him, he could just duck out the way by being fucking bendy.
I don't think Whiplash would be a better movie if you replaced Miles Teller with Miles Teller as Mr. Fantastic, but I think it would definitely be a different movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then you replace J.K. Simmons with J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon.
You replace him as a
J. Jonah Jameson! I want pictures of Spider-Man! I want pictures of Buddy Rich all over the studio!
Yes. This is my impression of J. Jonah Jameson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my impression of J. Jonah Jameson. Can I have pictures of Spider-Man, please?
I'm sorry I yelled at you earlier. I've been under a lot of stress. Playing that fucking drum set real nice.
It's for real estate!
Looks terrible!
Look at that waveform.
It's for real estate! Now, while we're still here, can we talk about...
How long have we been recording?
50 minutes.
Holy shit!
Can we talk about, Yorgos?
Yorgos Lanthimos.
Hey!
The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, good God.
That's an interesting, 2017 movie. Am I standing too far away from the mic?
Do you want to come... You can come a little closer if you want to.
If it suits you kindly, if it makes you feel warm at night. If you think about being close to that microphone, you get a little chubby.
I'm closer
diabetes.
To the microphone.
I'm worried about your health, Nicholas.
Let's talk about Yorgos Lanthimos. I don't know what that voice was, but...
I don't want to tell you about Yorgos Lanthimos. I
don't know why I did that, because I have change in my shorts pockets.
No, it's good. It's rhythmic. I like it.
No, it wasn't.
Helps keep time.
It was just jingle jangles.
Keeps time, it keeps rosemary, it keeps...
Time! Okay, let's talk about Yorgos. Oh, we spent 5 minutes talking about Yorgos Lanthimos. Let's actually talk about Yorgos
Lanthimos. It's meta,
isn't it? What did you think of...
Before we talk about the specific films themselves, I wanted to say a little something about, like, with most films where they present the life of an individual or a situation, they present it in a way that makes you go, I want to get in on that. I'm kind of envious. I want to see what this person's life is. I want to experience it. And in some films where they have like a love scene, a romance scene, you go sort of like,
oh, right, okay.
And you might feel a little dirty, but it's gratifying. You go,
oh, Nicole Kidman? Wow, breasts.
But when Yorgos presents you worlds, he presents you situations, he presents you relationships that make you want to look away. Mm. Yorgos is the cinematic equivalent of a train wreck. You look at him and you just go,
well,
and you can
train wreck is used to describe
train
bad,
wreck. No, train wreck in the greatest sense. In the sense that what he does is artistically valid.
Yeah.
It makes me look at it and go, you're a clever man. I appreciate what you did, but I never want to see this. I don't want to view this again.
I could watch The Lobster again, though.
I could watch The Lobster.
It's been 2 years since I watched The Lobster.
So. I could watch The Lobster.
The Lobster. That's
For those of you unaware, because I'm sure most of you are unaware, the lobster. It's just a fun running gag between me and Ben. It's just a fun inside joke because of the movie The Lobster. He just loves saying The Lobster in Colin Farrell's voice.
Yeah, that's I get immense joy about pretending to be Colin Farrell and saying The Lobster.
A lobster.
I love to see. They live for a very long time.
Yes. If I became an animal, I'd love to become Johnny Depp.
Get it?
Because Fantastic Beasts.
Ah.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Because spoiler alert, at the end of Fantastic Beasts, where it come where they come. Fantastic Beasts and where they come from.
Where should I come?
That should on be, the Fantastic that should Beast. Be, that should be the title of the movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where They Come From.
No.
That's what I was originally going to say.
Fantastic Beasts and Where They Come
From. And where to find them. I thought it was Where They Come From for a sec, but anyway.
Where you should drop this hot load.
I genuinely freaked out at this moment in the movie because I had no idea what to expect because I hadn't seen it. And I watched it, and at the very end of the movie, Colin Farrell just turns into Johnny Depp. And I'm just like, what?
Does he really?
Yes. Sorry if I spoiled the movie for you, but yeah.
I'm probably just going to see it.
Yeah, it's just like at the very end, it just suddenly that happens, and I'm like, what? What? Why is it? What? Why is Johnny Depp in this? Where did he come from? And then another thought came to my head after I watched the movie. I'm like, okay, this is the second movie that I've seen where Colin Farrell turned into Johnny Depp.
Yeah?
Well, actually, it was the other way around.
How many times have you seen a crossover?
There was a movie called The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus where Heath Ledger's character,
Gilliam, yeah.
He turns into Johnny Depp, Jude Law, and Colin Farrell at different points in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So technically he does.
Technically it's the other way around because Johnny Depp turns into Colin Farrell, if anything. But,
does Johnny Depp play just himself in...
No, he does a good job at pretending to be Heath Ledger. So.
No, just like...
All three of them do a good job at pretending to be Heath Ledger, even though his character's American and has an American accent when he's played by Johnny Depp and Heath Ledger. It's funny how when he's being played by Jude Law, he's British. Jude Law's British. But it's just funny how his accent changes, even though the only thing that's supposed to have changed is his face. Like, in the context of the character, the only thing that's supposed to have changed is his face, so...
But it doesn't.
It's
too much.
His voice as well. The rest of him looks exactly the same. He's wearing the same suit, the same hairstyle and all that. It's just his face is now that of Jude Law.
So things that are not changeable about an individual, such as their voice or their face... They've changed, but things that can change between people, such as the clothes that they're wearing, that's gotta be the same. If he's not wearing the same vest, we don't know.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
Okay, so basically there's another world called the Imaginarium, and then you step through a doorway to get into the Imaginarium, and at every point in which Heath Ledger's character steps into the Imaginarium, he stepped in after another person, and because he's wearing a mask... When he first meets them outside of the Imaginarium, when he goes into the Imaginarium, his face becomes that of the person that his face becomes that of what the person imagined.
Yeah,
and it's established earlier on in the movie that the Imaginarium can change you because some drunk asshole steps into the Imaginarium. He gets his face covered in mud, and then he's suddenly being played by a different actor.
Yeah.
So it's established earlier on in the movie that faces can change in the Imaginarium. So.
Yeah. It can make you a different person. It can change your voice.
And it's easier.
But God forbid, can it change your pants?
But yeah, they did a really good job at like subtly explaining why suddenly Heath Ledger is now Johnny Depp. They don't explain it like right up to you. They don't do a Mr. Exposition scene and just say, "Oh, he was wearing a mask and that's why his face was different." Because there is absolutely no time for that in this movie.
Oh, so I can see you've been through the Imaginarium and it changes you in
this
a way.
This is a Terry Gilliam movie. There's not going to be exposition.
They don't explain
shit. What are you,
stupid?
What are you, dense? What are you, retarded? I'm the goddamn Batman! A panel from a real Batman comic.
Jesus.
Written by Frank Miller.
Written by Frank Reynolds.
Yes. Actually, that would make more sense to be written by Frank Reynolds than Frank Miller.
Do you want to drop acid with me?
Anyway, Yorgos.
Yorgos!
So, is that all you wanted to say about Yorgos?
Yeah, that was the first thing that I wanted to say.
Alright, what else? Did you want to talk about his movies then?
Yes.
Yes. So, we've both seen The Killing of a Sacred Deer, we saw that in theaters. What did you think of it?
The Killing of the Sacred Deer,
Did you like it?
Yes.
It's hard to... It's one of those movies, it's hard to say whether or not you liked it, because it does a good job at making you not want to like it.
It's a yes with several ellipses following, because
watching
it, I go, this is so well written, it's crafted, I think I'm understanding what the world is, and the characters are kind of dynamic.
Very well shot as well.
And also because it's Yorgos, people are like, so, did you do the surgery? Yes, I did. That's a nice watch. But you can still
My
sort of...
My daughter started menstruating today.
She's bleeding all over the place.
She's 15.
She's got budding breasts. You should touch them.
Touch my 15-year-old daughter's breasts.
Please. I won't. They smell.
They smell?
Don't ask me how I know that. We're very open.
I went into my daughter's room one night, and I went right up close to her chest, and I sniffed.
I know that I'm at least 3 times hairier than her boyfriend, who's cursed me and my family.
Yes.
And now my son's eyes are bleeding.
Ah, but that's okay, because I f***ed him.
Sorry
if I spoiled the movie for you.
He's not hairy at all.
I'm
at least 4 times as hairy as him.
I'm gonna bleep out that spoiler. I don't care if it doesn't. It's not actually like cursing or anything. I'm just gonna bleep out the spoiler.
You should bleep out the word so we don't know what it is. What we did to his son.
Yeah, I'm just gonna bleep it out there as well. It's a good movie. Like, it, undoubtedly, it's a good movie.
It's just a bad time. I hate watching it.
It's really hard to watch. There's another movie from 2017 that I had the exact same feeling about.
Yeah.
And that I'd say Killing of a Sacred Deer is a better movie than it.
Yeah.
But it's still a good movie.
What film is it? Tell me.
Mother.
Okay, I'd heard about
it. It's a very good movie.
Is that Benicio? Benicio?
No.
No?
No, it is Javier Bardem.
Oh, Javier.
Different Spanish man. It's directed by Darren Aronofsky. Starring Darren...
Aronofsky.
He's the guy who did...
Aaron Aronofsky?
Noah.
Oh, okay.
From a few years ago.
Was that any good?
I liked it. But I feel like it's a good movie. It's not a good religious movie, but it's a good movie.
So it's not like, is it like...
If you watch it outside of religious context, then it's actually, it's a good movie. But if you watch it going like, I want to watch the original Bible story from Genesis, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
Then you're just gonna hate it. That's why I think it got a lot of bad reviews, is from just like real uppity Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't show it in Hebrew school.
Yeah. But it's just a good movie on its own, so... But anyway, he also did Black Swan.
Okay.
The Wrestler. Requiem for a Dream, which I've heard is another really good movie that's just a really bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Mother stars Darren Aronofsky's current girlfriend, Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of Jennifer Lawrence. She's a pretty small... actress.
She done anything important? Anything big?
Just a few small movies here and there, like X-Men.
Yeah.
You ever heard of X-Men?
Is that like with the huge Ackman?
Yeah.
It's good to see indie films like that. Yeah.
Another small franchise, the Hungry Games.
Oh, is that the one where they open up that small burger restaurant?
It's like a rip off of the Japanese movie Battle Royale.
It's not
a joke, by the way. It actually is a rip-off of a Japanese movie called Battle Royale.
They released the game for that by a guy called PlayerUnknown. That's really interesting.
Yes.
But
anyway, Mother, it stars Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem as a married couple. Javier Bardem is a writer. Jennifer Lawrence is a homemaker.
Yeah.
And basically she's like trying to fix this house that's in the middle of nowhere. They live in this really big house, and so she made the house from scratch, or sort of. She's fixing it up. She's doing all the hard work herself. So all the painting, all the nails, all the hammering, and all that stuff is her job. And he's a writer, a famous writer. And basically, at one point in the movie, another couple start taking over their house, and then their family troubles get in the middle of their life. And so a big calamity happens. They then hold a funeral at their house. So all these guests just show up, and they just ruin everything. And so she gets them all to leave, and everything's nice and peaceful until she gets pregnant, which then gets Javier Bardem to write another story.
I like that you say she gets pregnant, obviously, because Javier Bardem is such a manly,
did
masculine,
I say obviously?
Just a virulent
source of
testosterone.
I feel like I'm talking to someone who's already seen the movie. Sorry. So she gets pregnant, and Javier Bardem, it inspires him to write another poem.
He's just leaking everywhere. The amount of virulent semen this man possesses is simply just inhuman. How did she not get pregnant earlier? With such a masculine schlong.
Anyway.
His butts!
Shut
is
up!
Huge.
So yeah, he writes this other poem, which then becomes really popular. And so all his fans then do the exact same thing, but to an even worse degree. And the last 30 minutes of this movie is like the best interpretation of a nightmare I've ever seen on screen, except for the fact that within the context of the movie, it's actually supposed to be happening. And then it's supposed to be some, like, weird metaphor for, like, God and man and stuff that I'm not going to go into because it'll take too long and you haven't seen the movie.
Is it a nightmare for the socially anxious that don't like people coming around to their house, or is it...
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So for people that are sociable, is it like, well, just get over it, it's like a party, just have a drink.
No, even for people that are sociable, it's a nightmare. But, that movie will make you feel even more anxious than The Killing of a Sacred Deer will.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, well, maybe I should not see it then.
I'd recommend it, though. It's a good movie.
Oh, well, maybe I will.
So, did you see any other movies in 2017 that you liked? You saw Loving Vincent.
Oh, Loving Vincent was excellent.
The best animated movie of the year. I can't think of other animated movies that came out in 2017. Apart from, you know,
the Emoji movie.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What would you do if the Emoji movie was nominated for Best Animated Feature at the Oscars? Because, like, two animated movies came out in 2017.
Probably not.
Oh, no. Coco will be nominated, for sure.
What about... You're welcome! Or did that not come out the same year?
What movie?
Is that Moana?
Moana? That was last year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I'm really terrible at working out when things have happened.
Yeah. And I'm really good at memorizing when movies came out. And nothing else. I can't think of any other animated movies that came out in 2017. You've got Coco, Ferdinand...
I have no idea what Ferdinand is.
Ferdinand's just a movie about a bull played by John Cena.
Oh, okay.
Did Despicable Me 3 come out this year?
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
I think so.
I don't want to pay any mind to that.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that movie is that Trey Parker's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Matt Stone?
No, Trey Parker.
Just Trey
Parker. This is the only movie below the M rating that stars Trey Parker. This is his first ever PG movie. They probably spend all their time, like, writing South Park and writing, just writing and writing and writing, so...
They just spend their time fucking bitches and doing...
Bucking fitches?
Yeah, bucking fitches and doing voices of small children.
Yeah.
Do you think they ever, like, bring the voices of small children into environments where it's not conducive to have children?
Into the bedroom? In the middle of having sex?
Zach, my man! Respect my authority, bitch!
Honey, please don't. I'm trying to concentrate.
Well, the thing is, when they do the voices outside of the studio, they're doing like, respect my authority, bitch. And then pitch shift themselves, yeah.
Have they done that always, or?
I think so, yeah.
Or is it just as they've gotten older?
Well, when Matt Stone is doing the voice of Kenny, it's literally just Matt Stone's voice speaking into a sleeve. Which is like, and then they just pitch it up. What are some other 2017 movies you like? So we've talked about...
Loving Vincent was sensational.
Loving Vincent was just beautiful. If that movie doesn't win Best Animated Feature at the Oscars, I will be deeply disappointed.
Okay, I still like it.
Huh?
I'll
still love it.
It can or can't win as many awards as it... As
I'll
it
still
wins.
Love the movie. I'll be disappointed in the Academy, not in the movie.
Well, the Academy can fuck off, okay?
Yeah. I'll be disappointed in the Academy if they don't nominate it for Best Animated Feature. I'm sure Coco will win because it's fucking Disney, but, you know, Loving Vincent at least needs to be nominated.
In
so
the words of Jerry Seinfeld, awards are stupid.
So much love and effort was put into this movie, you know?
Well, yeah.
To not be recognized at the most prestigious movie awards of the year would just be a shame.
I really think that the best part of it is the fact that it was, you know, it was largely marketed on a gimmick, right? It was largely, it was about the fact that every frame was a painting.
Yeah.
And then the film was still magnificent. Because there are so many things that come to fruition based on a gimmick, whether it's in a game or a film or anything like that, and they go, got like motion control, it's got 3D, it's got like a game and a show portion.
As soon as something is based on a book or something that's pre-existing, that's immediately kind of a gimmick in its own.
A little bit.
That you're immediately trying to get people's attention because of the fact that this movie is based on something else.
Well, it's got to have a unique selling point if you're going to market it.
Yeah, obviously.
But it was still...
casting someone like Dwayne The Rock Johnson is also, like... Casting someone big is also kind of a gimmick.
I thought you were saying that he was in the film. Like, I remember seeing Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Just casting someone big in a movie itself is also kind of a gimmick. Like,
well, yeah.
Like Jumanji, the new one, would not nearly have sold as well without Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, or Jack Black. I'm sure not enough people know about Karen Gillan to make her a big selling point in the movie. But... She's still a great actress, so...
Mm.
Although, I guess you'd have a lot of fans from Doctor Who and Guardians of the Galaxy, so...
What year did Kingsman The Golden Circle come out?
Yeah, 2017.
I saw that.
Because I saw it in theatres. That was pretty good.
It was okay, like...
I'd say it's about the same quality as the first movie.
I like the first one better.
I mean, there are bits in the second one that are, like... Just feel like they were just straight up from the first movie. So, I mean, first one... immediately has the crutch of being a sequel to have to deal with. But, the first one is, I think, a better movie. Second one's got better action in it, though, I think.
Yeah, well, I think...
Because they have a bigger budget, so they could do crazier things.
Yeah.
Oh, and one amazing thing about Kingsman 2 that I loved is that it just felt so much like a live-action version of the show Archer.
Okay.
Yeah, especially that open car scene. The car scene at the opening... I just felt like it came straight out of Archer, including the robot arm, you know?
Well, I think that both Kingsman films are choreographed extremely well.
Mm.
I found that the second one was a lot more vulgar. There was just... Like I've got no problem with the vulgarity.
The vagine scene?
No, well, yeah, there was that. But it was the fact, like, there was at least twice as many swear words in the second one as there was in the first one. There was just a lot more fuck.
Yeah.
In general. And I don't know if that was an artistic choice or if the actors were just letting him off.
I think
it
might have just been
the
fact that they got away with it in the first movie, so they tried to just get a bit more in the second one.
But
I think they had a bit more creative freedom with the second one because the first one did so well. It's like Deadpool 2 is without a doubt going to be gorier and swearier and more vulgar than the first one.
But
I can guarantee it.
I don't think it added anything. Like, it was something I noticed it. There was just like
Kick-Ass. They did the same thing with Kick-Ass 2.
Well, Kick-Ass was already kind of just vulgar as it was, but like the fact that I noticed it and it didn't add anything was like,
I didn't really notice anything too much, because I watched the first Kingsman the night before we went and saw Kingsman The Golden Circle, and it didn't feel too different. It felt like there may have been more of it, but it didn't feel like it was done differently.
No, I would say it's much of the same.
It didn't feel like, you know, they were using the swearing itself as a form of comedy, like a sausage party.
No, it was just like every second or third word felt like it was going to be a swear word, and it didn't bother me, but I noticed it and went, well, okay, what does this do to the film?
All right.
But on the whole, it was pretty good.
To be honest, this was a good year for movies. A lot of people like to treat it like it wasn't, but a lot of really good movies came out this year.
A lot of people feel like every year is the worst year.
Some people like to think just because Hollywood is bombarded with sequels and franchises, that those movies in and of themselves are immediately shit. But then you get gems like Blade Runner 2.
I didn't see that.
Logan. Like, Logan is a movie that couldn't exist by itself.
No.
But you can watch it on its own, and it would still be an amazing film.
Mm.
Like, this movie can be watched on its own without having seen any of the X-Men movies, but without any of the X-Men movies, this movie would not exist at all.
Oh, The Disaster Artist.
The Disaster Artist is a really good one that would not have been made without The Room. That's a good movie from this year.
But The Disaster Artist, like, I think that that James Franco makes the film.
Yeah.
James Franco is, like, his performance is the reason why it's so enjoyable.
Yeah. Dave Franco is just Dave Franco in this movie. He doesn't feel like he's playing Greg Sestero.
Most everyone else is just kind of themselves, and like Judd Apatow appears for like a minute.
Zac Efron was great. Zac Efron was hilarious in that movie.
As Chris R.
Chris R. Yeah, because what's hilarious about that is the fact that the best scene in the movie, like the genuinely best acted scene in the movie, was the first scene that they filmed.
Yeah.
Which is really funny to me.
Because as they went on, people just got beat down and just sick of it, and like an old lady passes out in the heat because there's no fucking cooling.
Yeah.
Because the set's just a shambles. It's not Mickey Mouse, but it is absolutely Steamboat Willie. But the fact that it details...
It's my toilet. No one else can use that one.
No, it's for director only.
I pay good money, director only toilet.
Mickey Mouse...
James Franco, what I love is that he's like a hot contender to get an Oscar for that role, which is hilarious considering the fact that the role itself is playing one of the worst actors ever.
Yeah, but it's because that Tommy Wiseau is such an individual.
Oh yeah.
He's such just a distinct entity that to play him, it's really easy
it
to...
It requires a lot of... It's really easy to just do an impression of him.
Yeah.
To actually convincingly be Tommy Wiseau is just... It deserves so much
It's talent. Easy to get, like, an essence, to get sort of an idea about... So, like, oh, hi, doggy.
Hi, doggy.
But to do a really spot-on impression, if it's not right on, then it's going to seem really funny. But I think that James Franco just does it.
Yeah.
But the fact that they detail the life and times of this man, and as far as we know, what is in that book is real. And the fact that any of that occurred, and the fact that he's still around, and the movie was the way that it was, is mind-boggling. It's quite impressive.
What I'm really amazed about is the amount of people who have seen this movie and don't know what The Room is, and think that this movie is fictional.
I don't know why you would see this film without having seen The Room. I mean, don't understand the motivation.
James Franco, Seth Rogen, Dave Franco.
Yeah, but...
Immediately three reasons for people to go see this movie without having seen The Room.
Yeah, but as someone that's a big fan of The
being,
Room... Yeah.
It's being credited as one of the best movies of the year. Another reason for people to go see it without knowing what the hell The Room is.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm just thinking, as a fan of the film, like, if you did go and see it, I think your enjoyment of it would be severely diminished. I think if you didn't know that you were going in to see a film about Tommy Wiseau...
I mean, you can go see this movie without having seen The Room, but then go see The Room after it. Like, straight after seeing Disaster Artist, go see The Room. Yeah.
I don't know if I would recommend people to see The Room first...
It's up to you. It's up
if
to you.
If you've never heard of it, whether I would say watch The Room first and The Disaster Artist or...
At least watch a few clips of The Room. A few, like, memorable scenes from The Room before you see The Disaster Artist. Do a little bit of research as to who Tommy Wiseau is.
Don't touch
You probably don't even need to do that. But, like, just watch a few scenes from The Room before you go see The Disaster Artist. Then it's up to you whether or not you actually want to subject yourself to watching The Room.
Oh, just a little bit of chip, 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 chip.
Did you see Dunkirk this year?
I did not see Dunkirk.
Oh, you were missing out, man.
I'll watch it.
You needed to see Dunkirk in theaters. Dunkirk is a movie that like Logan, you could easily just watch like in a room.
Yeah.
A lot of movies that came out this year. The Big Sick, that's a good one. Raw. Colossal. I'm just trying to think of other movies that came out this year that I liked. Alien Covenant kind of needed to be watched in the theater. Out of most of the movies that came out this year, I think the two movies that you absolutely needed to see in theaters on a big screen were Blade Runner 2049 and Dunkirk. And the movies you went and saw in theaters this year, you went and saw The Disaster Artist.
Yeah. Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Killing of a Sacred Deer and Loving Vincent. We watched those two together in one day.
Yeah.
Suburbicon.
Yeah.
Which was okay.
It was
It's enjoyable, but it's also not enjoyable. So.
Yeah.
Like, it's enjoyable as like a kind of, just kind of popcorn movie.
With like a subplot of racism like stuck in there.
But as for people who actually like study film and that, it's a very... infuriating film.
Yeah. Does it just not do what it should
it
do?
It just doesn't do what it's supposed to. It just doesn't...
Is that a bad thing?
It should at least treat these two plot points like of equal importance.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I mean, or fortunately, depending on how you view it, the Matt Damon part of the movie...
Dominates.
Yeah. And then there's this just unnecessary...
Just the thing about racism?
Yeah, there's this unnecessary plot point about racism that didn't need... Like, just because the movie's set in the 50s doesn't mean it has to be about racism.
That's a good point. Like, and just because it's in a time where you know, the Jim Crow laws were in effect doesn't mean you have to...
You can tell a good story without having to have a message like that.
Yeah.
Like, the racist message was clearly added on by George Clooney and the other guy. Like, Joel and Ethan Coen clearly wrote the movie about Matt Damon's plot, and then the rest was added after. But the thing is, I think the movie should have been equally between the two plot points, or about one story. Either it be about the black family living in Suburbicon, or about this horrible thing happening in Suburbicon.
Well, there needed to be a way to integrate it. If one of the characters that
like,
were
like,
subject-
oh, they happen to be neighbors! These two plot points happen to live... Like door, like next door, but like one's behind the other.
They're completely separated.
These two completely separate stories happen to live in a very close proximity to each other.
I think
the kids are friends at one point in the movie.
The only effect is that at one point where there is the riot and they're attacking the house, I think that means that like Matt Damon has to like go around the block to park his car. That's the extent of it.
Yeah.
The guy that plays the insurance agent, is that the guy that plays Poe Dameron?
Yep.
I like him.
He is a good actor. He was in another Coen Brothers movie called Inside.
I think he's going to be the next Robert Downey Jr. He's going to be the next sort of like snarky.
I think he's going to be a pretty big name. Star Wars definitely helped. So many people are in love with him.
What's the guy's name?
Oscar Isaac.
That's
so many people are in love with him. Not just because he's dashingly handsome, but also because he's in Star Wars. So.
I foresee big things for him.
Yes, I mean he was in Ex Machina, which is another really good movie. You wouldn't recognize him at all because he's got this massive beard.
Yeah.
That's another one. Actually, that what's funny about that movie is that it has Poe Dameron and General Hux in it together.
Huh.
Yeah. Before they were in Star Wars.
General Fox?
You're so funny! So there's another movie with him in it, directed by the Coen Brothers, called Inside Llewyn Davis, which might be another one that you might like to watch, because it's about a musician.
Inside Lou and Mavis?
Llewyn Davis.
Alright. I was thinking, what are we...
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Is that a guy that I should have heard of?
It's not a real person. Oh, it's okay. A fictional character. I think he's supposed to be loosely based on Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Like, his type of music. The character itself, I don't think, is based on Bob Dylan, but I think the type of music is kind of influenced by Bob Dylan. That's just something I've heard, though. I haven't seen the movie. I haven't seen the movie, so don't chastise me for thinking that. That's just something I've heard about the movie. I'm just seeing how long you can go. Did you see Jumanji, the new one?
No, I didn't.
It was okay.
Fucking time on that.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I went and saw it on New Year's Eve. It was okay. Yeah. It was a pretty solid follow up to the first Jumanji movie.
Spoke to a customer who'd seen it, and she said it was alright.
It was like most like, before I saw it, I thought it was just gonna be. Through name only that it was connected, like just the name Jumanji.
No, apparently it's a direct sequel. Like they
It is a direct sequel. There's actually a lot of references to the original game. It stays very faithful to like trying to keep a very similar story to the original while also trying to be its own thing, and it does a really good job of being a sequel to Jumanji.
How many of the jokes are dependent on some? Delicious teenager being Jack Black. How many jokes?
Most of Jack Black's bit in like the beginning of his character.
I'm fat, no.
But then, after the like the realization like of these characters being different.
Yeah.
Most of them, like the rest of the movie, is just occasional references here and there to them being different people. But for the majority of the movie, they're perfectly comfortable with their new bodies. Especially, you know, Dwayne. Dwayne. One thing I found really weird, and this is just like a me thing, like I'm sure most people would not give a shit.
Yeah.
But one thing that I just found really weird is that the credits, like Dwayne, like all these characters in the game, right? They're given their own names. Like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Rain
plays
the Jock Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson plays a character named like Dr. Bravestone, right?
Right.
So why not call him Dr. Bravestone in the credits? They call him Spencer, and then the guy who plays Spencer is called Young Spencer. Which is a pretty stupid credit system when you've given these fictional characters their own names. You've got Spencer, and then you've got Spencer in the body of Dr. Bravestone, so shouldn't Dwayne the Rock Johnson be credited as Dr. Bravestone? Instead of Spencer, even though clearly he spends most of the movie playing Spencer in the body of Dr. Bravestone, I think it just makes more sense for Dwayne the Rock Johnson to be credited as Dr. Bravestone, and same for the other characters.
Does he get referred to as Dr. Bravestone throughout the film?
Yeah, by all the NPCs and like a few other characters. He even calls himself Bravestone a few times.
Well, in that case, I think it would make sense to credit him as such. But if it was just that they happened to mention that his character is called Dr. Bravestone, and they kept going like, Spencer, catch!
Well,
and
most of the time when the characters refer to each other, they call each other, you know, Spencer and all their real names. But all the NPCs call him Dr. Bravestone.
Yeah.
There's the occasional reference to him talking about himself as Dr. Bravestone in the third person, which is actually quite funny. Actually, I just think it would have made more sense. But this is just a very small, minor nitpick that's literally only present for the end credits of the movie.
I think technically the character that he portrays is Spencer.
Yeah, I just think it would have made more sense for him to be credited as Dr. Bravestone.
Yeah.
Instead of crediting actual Spencer as Young Spencer, when there's only one Spencer in the movie. There isn't like a young version of the same character.
Yeah.
With Alex, there's a character who got stuck in Jumanji at the beginning of the movie, you know, sans Robin Williams.
Yeah.
But, so, you've got a young version of this character, and then an old version of the character in modern day, when they escape the game, because, you know, that's obviously going to happen.
Yeah.
But then you've got his character within Jumanji, played by Nick Jonas.
Yeah. There's no time gap.
I don't know what they call him. I didn't bother to look at the credits for Nick Jonas, but there's three different versions of the character Alex there. There's young Alex, old Alex, and game Alex, played by Nick Jonas. But game Alex, his character is called Seaplane. That's the nickname for the character. I can't actually remember what the character's name is.
Right.
They could have just called him Seaplane and then have young Alex and old Alex also.
Right.
Now you've got young Alex, Alex, and old Alex, maybe. I don't know what they call him.
Hmm.
It's just a weird crediting system. I just think it would have made more sense. That's a very small, minor detail for me to go on such a tangent on.
It's a little bananas.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Well, we've been recording for quite a while now, so I think we should put an end to this. Thanks for letting us be your temporary uncles for the past hour and whatever. You could send us some emails at
if you're so inclined.
Yeah, well, I think it'd be great to have emails to read.
I would encourage that.
That way, we don't just go off on tangents for an hour. And
it's gonna happen.
We could get some good, because we had a few different points that we had a few different topics we were gonna talk about that we didn't. So
yeah. Well, we got that for next time then.
Yeah, we got that for next time. Next, I think the next episode will probably just be better.
Yeah.
So
focused.
So stay tuned for the next episodes, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow us on Twitter at TempUncles. Send us emails at tempuncles@gmail.com. I guess that's it for us being your uncles. We'll be your uncles again next time.
Alright.
We'll be doing these every 2 weeks.
Yes.
We'll attempt to do these every 2 weeks, and we'll attempt to get guests on a few times, so.
We'll have some, maybe a temporary auntie at some point.
Yeah, temporary aunts, and we'll have a few temporary aunts and a few other
temporary extended family.
Yeah.
Temporary second cousin.
Yeah. A creepy uncle from a few blocks away.
Momentary grandparents.
Momentary grandparents. I love that. We should have called our podcast Momentary Grandpas.
Christ.
Anyway, bye.